So for 32 years, I've been working with uncaged teenagers and their families. So let's all say the word together, millennial. Okay, that is probably our 30-somethings. You are no longer working with millennials. You're working with iGen. Say iGen. That is a lot cooler than saying, you know, the, what are they calling it? You have iGens, they may call them Generation Z. And now, I'm sorry to say, we're starting over in the alphabet. We're about to start with alpha, is what they're saying. I'm going to deny all of that to see some more research. But let's just stick with the Z today and a little bit of millennials. I'm going to show you some videos, which will work. But before I do that, I'm going to give you something to think about as far as the dichotomy of where we're at. It's Mayberry versus to Modern Family. How many of y'all remember the great Andy Griffith show? Okay, tell me what we love about that show. Other than the song that we all whistle, watch this. See? You can all do that, okay? Tell me about Mayberry. Simpler. What made it simpler? Sameness. Yes. What else? What makes it wholesome? I want you to think about this for a second. What made it wholesome? There's not sexual. I don't know. You know, Andy was pretty sweet on that girl. But it wasn't totally like NC-17, right? Yes? No foul language. See, and where did I put my phone, Chuck? Harold and I really solved the world's problems. Don't look at this, Jody. Whatever you want to do. What else? Tell me about Mayberry. It was. I want you to hold on to that. All of it. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Thank you. Now comes the dysfunction. Oh my word! Andy was a single parent. Nobody? Just let that sink in. Did his wife die? Did we realize what happened? I'm trying to see the backstory of that. You have Aunt B, okay, which a little fictive kin going on. Otis the drunk would come in and sleep off a drunken spell in the cell that was unlocked, and he was even asked to give wisdom to Opie. What you think about that? It's different. What else?
There was tolerance for people's quirks.
Oh, absolutely. How many bullets did Barney get? One, if he was good. All right? It was a different time. Now, Modern Family. Anybody watch Modern Family? Tell me about Modern Family. I'm a Christian. I don't watch this. Do you remember during the days when soap... Did your parents let you watch soap?
No.
Now, here's what's so funny about that. We couldn't watch soap because Billy Crystal played a homosexual, but we could watch Three's Company. Now, that's a whole different discussion.
I could have watched Three's
Company. Come and knock on it.
Right. I know I did.
Door. You're not going to finish the song, which was interesting, but we couldn't watch the other. Thank you. Who did that? Was that you? You even did it right. Different worlds. Okay, I want to show you a couple of videos. One, well, before I do that. Nope, I'm going to show you the video first, see if it works. Whistle along if you would like.
Hiya, Taylor.
Hi, Arnold.
Gosh, you must have been saving up for it since you was a kid.
My dad bought it for me.
Come on, Taylor. Hop on the rack and I'll give you a ride.
I can't. I gotta get this garage cleaned up.
What happens if you don't?
I don't get my quarter this week.
Kids aren't supposed to work for their allowance.
My pa's awful busy. Maybe he hasn't heard this new stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll ask him. Take it from me. Talking is a waste of time. You have to take action.
Kicking a table leg, rolling around.
on the floor, kicking your feet, pretending you can't stop crying?
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, for crying out loud, Taylor!
Hey, Arnold. Take it easy, Arnold. I didn't mean to say nothing wrong. Get the idea?
Ride a bike on the sidewalk?
Oh, watch it.
Doggone it, I warned him and he deliberately rode on the sidewalk again.
Is that true, son? Did you hear Officer Fife warn you?
Yes, sir.
Young man, I'm gonna have to take this bike and hold it.
You can't take my bike. It's my bike.
Now, you listen here, young fella. When an officer gives you a warning, you're supposed to mind.
Yeah, now get on off of there. Now go on home.
You'll see. I'm gonna tell my dad.
Hi, Pa.
Oh, hi, son.
Pa, can I talk to you about something I don't understand?
Sure, come on in.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
I just don't understand it, Pa.
What?
None of the other guys work for their allowance. I just don't want to work for my allowance.
No work, no allowance.
That's not fair!
Don't raise your voice to me. Now, you get on out of here. I got things to do. What are you doing?
I was holding my breath.
Good lung exercise. But don't get your clothes all dirty.
Sheriff?
Yes, sir. You the boy's father?
That's right. Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
Everybody's against me!
Now, there, son.
Get him out, little fun!
Was it such a crime?
Now, if we don't teach children to live in society today, what's going to happen to them when they grow up?
For heaven's sake, Sheriff, the boy's not a criminal.
The minimum punishment for this offense is impounding the bicycle for 1 week.
Well, you can't do it. I demand you return that bike, and now.
Now, you look here. You're that boy's father. You're responsible for his actions. Now, he's too young to be locked up. But if you're not going to take responsibility, maybe I ought to lock you up. You ever think of that?
Go on, put him in jail. He won't care. I don't want to lose my brand new bike. I just got it.
You'd rather I put your father in jail.
I want my bike!
Sheriff, there won't be any need to impound that bike.
How's that?
I'm gonna sell it.
Sell it? You're gonna sell my bike?
That's right, Arnold.
But it's my bike. You can't sell my bike.
Be quiet, Arnold.
Mr. Winkler, there's a real nice woodshed out back.
Good old-fashioned woodshed?
Real nice one.
No, I want my bike!
Is Arnie gonna get spanked, Paul?
Don't you think he deserves it?
I don't want to say. After all, he is one of my own kind.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, son.
I was wondering if by any chance you might need a person to clean the garage and do odd jobs around.
There happens to be a recent vacancy in that department.
Oh, boy.
25 cents a week, okay?
Sounds fine to me, Paul.
Good.
So, what'd you see in there? Tell me about the good part of Mayberry that we miss. A what? A wise father, okay. What? Accountability, yes. What? Yes, very clear boundaries. You do this, this happens. Okay, what else? A moral, okay. Okay, this is wrong, yeah. Now, it's funny, I think, you know, just on a side note, Apple TV's interesting because it's teaching almost some old school things. It's been interesting to watch. I think we're almost in a golden age of TV, and some of it's very nasty, okay, just very cultural. But it's like these actors have broken off to want to retell stories to have kind of a standard in our culture. I don't know if y'all have noticed that, because they're not part of the big networks. And so they're going back to some stuff that I'm like, wow, like Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is a pretty interesting story. If you like F-bombs, again, you have to just like listen to Ted Lasso and have some worship music out the other ear. But it's going back to some moral absolutes and some ways that we treat people. But there's things that we miss about Mayberry. And a lot of it is that there's consequences, there's support, there's these adults and these kids are kind of on the same page. You realize in our world today, that doesn't exist. A guy named Robert Coles wrote a book called The Moral Intelligence of Children. And he talks about how morality, and the way we would say it, is better caught than taught. Because we learn by watching the adults in our lives and how they get on with their day and normal kind of responses. So we kind of know that because that's the business we're in. So when you don't see good stuff, guess what the answer is? Surrounding students with adults that can provide a different scaffolding and provide a different structure and a different story of rights and wrongs. It's a little more difficult. I wish the kid who lost it was something that just happened way back in the 50s. But literally a conversation I have to have with one of my friends because he's damaging his daughter. His daughter didn't like something that happened. She was a junior in high school, didn't like something that happened at sports. So she went home crying and told her dad, it's like going, oh, this is awful, I got kicked out of whatever. None of that's true. But instead of talking to another adult, by the time I could get him on the phone, he'd already called the principal, who called the AD, who called this coach, and the coach said, I would love to visit with you. And he decided, well, I'm going to let this one slide. I'm not going to talk to him about it. Like he had done something, you know, to defend her girl. Guess what that girl does? If homework's late, she will say, just like that kid on the bicycle, I'll just call my dad and he'll call the school. So it's still something that happens in our culture today, but it used to be, and this is where it picks back up on the argument with Robert Coles, our home and our school and our church and our community all focused on the raising of that kid. Does it sound familiar? Deuteronomy chapter 6. It wasn't just the mom and dad. It was our responsibility to impress upon the children their God and the way to live that way. Even in situations where you have orphans and widows. In our business of taking the disenfranchised, we provide them with a fictive kin, if you will, a faith family, a family of families by which we raise our kids together. I love the dysfunction in the family of Christ. That's weird. I'm going to say it again. I love the dysfunction in the family of Christ. Don't you, for what you do? Because there are all kinds of weird twists and turns, and God redeems it all. And God can still do that today. That's why we do what we do. Amen? Okay, isn't that what we do? Amen? That's what we do, because God can redeem those things. I just wanted to get my Leonard going. Okay, so that's important. That's what we do. But that family's been disjointed. And so things are still kind of broken because we're humans. That's that world. Now, I'm going to show you another. It's the first trailer for Modern Family. See what you can pick up from this one.
The family is one of nature's masterpieces.
Come on, Coach. You gotta take that kid out.
You wanna take him out? How about I take you out?
Honey, they're 0-6. Let's take it down a notch.
This is the story of three very unique families.
Oh, this must be your dad.
Her dad?
Yeah.
No, that's funny. Actually, no, I'm her husband. Don't be fooled by the, give me a second here.
Jay and Gloria are newlyweds.
I come from a small village, very poor, but very, very beautiful. It's the number one village in all Colombia for all the, what's the word?
Murders.
Yes, the murders.
Phil and Claire have a traditional family.
Dad! What happened? Luke just shot me!
They're only plastic BBs.
Buddy, uncool.
That's it?
No. The agreement was that if he shoots someone, you shoot him.
He's got a birthday party.
You can shoot him afterwards. He'll be home at 2.
I can't shoot him at 2. I'm showing a house at 2.
What about 3?
No, he's got a soccer game at 3, and then, oh, we gotta leave for that dinner thing at 5. 4:15, you could shoot him at 4:15.
Yeah, I guess that works for me.
Shoot Luke.
Sorry, dude, it's on the calendar.
Then there's Mitchell and Cameron.
We just adopted her.
We're bringing her home for the first time, huh?
Look at that baby with those cream puffs.
Okay, excuse me, but this baby would have grown up in a crowded orphanage if it wasn't for us, cream puffs. And you know what? No, to all of you who judge. You small-minded, ignorant few.
What?
She's got the cream puffs.
Oh.
We would like to pay for everyone's headsets.
And while they're three very different families...
Why are you smiling?
What?
Dad, you have got to talk to Mom.
Well, honey, your mom isn't always as cool about things as... Ow! What is with this thing? Ow!
Count to three.
One,
three.
Two, okay.
What the hell is that? Is that us with wings?
We're floating above her, always there to protect her.
Okay, well, that's reassuring, right, Lily? We tore you away from everything you know, but don't worry, things are normal here. Your fathers are floating fairies.
They are all trying to survive one very modern world.
I wanted to bring a film and I love her.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Honey, she's 16.
Oh, it's okay for you to take an order, lover?
Hey, watch it.
Sports guy chest bump.
No.
Sports guy chest bump.
Can't.
Oh, sorry.
We're all in this together. Yes, we are. We're I'm a cool dad. That's my thing.
Come on.
So tell me what you see in that clip. Because there is a difference, not just the diversity. Look beyond that. It feels like chaos. We're very busy, but it was on the calendar, so I get to shoot the kid, right? It's on the calendar. How many of y'all have a calendar like that in your home? Yep. We do. Forget cell phones. We have that calendar. If it's not on there, you're done. My wife keeps it.
There's no differentiation or hierarchy.
Yeah, no differentiation. How do you feel? You know, it's like that. It's like, I don't want to ruin your sense of self. My parents didn't care about my sense of self. At one point, they're like, I will give you that sense of self. Now, how could they do that? Think about socialization for a moment. Remember the world of Andy Griffith, this world we grew up in, that if I got trouble at school, I got double at home, and the church member was my assistant principal. So when I knocked a kid out in the library, great shot, I was already in trouble. And then my community supported everything that my parents and church and school did. So let's suppose, any of y'all from Dallas? 35 has always been under construction. And my parents, because they didn't love us, we could walk to school in elementary school because I guess we didn't care about child abductions. And we just kind of, it was like a long trek, okay? It's not as long as my mom's one-room schoolhouse. She would tell me stories about Little House on the Prairie. But we would go all the way to, you know, over the 35 bridge, past the Brahms to Central Elementary. We realized that you could take little pedals and throw them at passing cars going down 35. Great fun. Somebody had to stop on the bridge, honk their horn, look at us. She drove home. She had to pull out, for you younger people, okay, a phone book because she recognized one of the kids who recognized another kid. Someone finally called my mother. I was in trouble by the time I got home. Now, when Mom picked up the phone, it wasn't, well, did you get the other kids? What happened? Or why are you picking on my son? My mom said, thank you, and proceeded to beat me as I was walking into the house. Now, when she would rip my sense of self, there was always someone around as we raised our kids together. You know why your mom did this, right? She's right. You know you're going to be all right, right? That community doesn't exist. Now what we find is the kid gets in trouble, and it's all about equity. What happened to that kid? Are you sure? Why are you picking on my kid? I have been receiving at least 2 emails a day from a kid who's not even 5'5", whose mother believes he's being treated unfairly by my coaching staff. He will be playing against 6'6" wideouts. This is a matter of survival for the young man. Why isn't my kid given an opportunity? He does get an opportunity, but he gets beat up. And he knows it, but he goes home and tells his mom, they're not giving me a chance. So I'm just going to start taking videos and sending it to him. I don't know what else to do. And I'm like, I keep talking to the kid, because they just don't believe it, because they believe in equity. When has it ever been equitous in sports, in theater, in work, in life? Right? So we have difficulties at times because we always assume the worst. Well, you have all the diversity of that family. Here's another big difference. Everybody was for the kid during the time when a lot of us grew up. Today, it's about the family. So let's go back to Opie. Otis the drunk could speak into his life. Barney could speak into his life. He had his dad. He had Aunt Bea. All these people would speak into his life. Today, families are very much about themselves and their own self-protection and their own concept of... That's why we live life vicariously through our kids on social media spaces. That's a whole different discussion. We find our worth in the success of our kids. And you're like, but that's an old problem. Everybody's done that. But not to the extreme we're seeing. I told Jimmy when I was flying through Kansas City, because Southwest has to take you to the other side of the world when you're going anywhere. Leonard made the joke about Atlanta. When you live in Lubbock, it's go west. If you go east, you're going to go to Kansas City. And the place was just crowded with basketball players. It's the first thing I told him. It was just nauseating to me because there's a lot of Under Armour athletic people coming here for the big tournaments. And it's the parents. And it's these individuals that are scouting these kids. And as a coach, I'm like going... This isn't reality. But they're forking over thousands of dollars. It's a whole different level. Am I speaking truth? So these kids are in the middle of that. Now let me tell you again a big difference before we get to how do we work with these kids then. Most of us grew up in a modern mindset. This is how we got apologetics. This is why we took the Bible and made it into a science book. It's not very productive, but that's what, even though the Bible said in the beginning, God, no. We had to take it and prove there's a God. That's from the modern mindset. 1 + 1 = until the 60s, we had some weird people that thought it may be 3. These quantum science weird people, right? Got any weird people like that in here? Science? I learned a mathematic table. 3 × 3 is what? 9. I just start with the 3s. That could be difficult, right? We had a table. Any teachers in the room or used to teach? We teach guesstimation now. Did you know that? You can use a calculator in a test. What's up with that? Because we don't need to do the adding and multiplying and stuff. So we literally are taking, what do you think these two numbers are, guesstimate, and then boom, get as close as possible. Am I making this up? Because we live in a computer age. The STAR test, which is a big deal in Texas, which is our big standardized test, and y'all probably have them wherever you are, we are testing students for jobs that don't even exist yet. I took the California Achievement Test. Anybody with me? The CAT test? Yeah, we made fun of it. I'm supposed to either be, I did pretty good. I was supposed to be a car salesman or a preacher. So there you go. So I'm kind of somewhere in between. You know, youth minister, just right there in the middle. We started it. Today, these students have been squashed, told that they're not very smart, told they're not very fast, told they're all of this stuff, and they've not been allowed to fail. And if you can't fail, you don't learn. Now, there's a bunch of stuff I'd love to kind of enter into, but it comes from that mindset, 1 + 1 = 2, based on the scientific theory. You have this theory, and you try the theory, and you come up with reality on the other side. Well, in the 60s, something began to change because you could not put human worth in a scientific formula. This gave right to a lot of great questions in our culture because this scientific modern method, 1 + 1 = 2, brought us to the brink of World War III. Now, some of us are old enough to remember when we would get under the desk, not because of tornadoes, but in the city. It's like, in case we had nuclear war, and I was old enough to go, this desk is going to melt on my back. I don't even know why I'm underneath there. Let me just run free for a few moments. And then we had the late great, remember the Day After movie that came out? Was it ABC? Because we had, you younger, oh my word, it was awful. We had movie night. It was on Friday. That was it. And it's like the whole world took a deep breath during the SALT Treaty thing. Do you remember these days? And we watched the day after, and everybody's like, oh my word, we can't do this. things begin to change because we realize we had to reach truth a different way. And so what we grew up as the apple, you cut an apple in the middle, what do you have in the middle of an apple? A core. What do you have in the middle of a core? Seeds. So you take those seeds, plant them in the ground, what do you got? An apple tree. And if that seed doesn't grow, it's not the seed's fault. It's the environment. That's the world we grew up in. So we try to control the environment, but if you can't, it's a bad seed. See what I'm saying? Now, welcome to 2022, which started at the end of the 60s and is in full fruition. If you cut an onion in half, what do you have? Nothing. It's layered. You ever wonder why, and you hear students say this all the time, and adults, well, that's your truth. This is mine. Or we now use words like this. Now, this is absolutely true, Jimmy. The others is just like half true. Now I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. Do you see the difference? So, therefore, this is your way to look at things. This is the way I need to look at things. And the thing that keeps me up at night is where's the locus of our authority to make decisions? With my students, I put them in argumentative type positions. And I say, here's what I want you to do. I don't even care what your answer is at the moment, but all of you have to start with, I need to know where you come from in the scripture, where you come from the social sciences. You have to support what you believe. And they'll go, and if they start with, well, I feel, I'll stop them and say, you are in a position where I don't care how you feel. I want to know what you know. When some of us who've gone through graduate school, did you have an opinion when you were an undergrad? Did you? Could you state your opinion? A little bit. I was told, in no uncertain terms, undergrad, you have no opinion, master's, you have a little bit, doctorate, you know one thing. Then you can state something. It's a very kind of weird type academy. You had to quote everything. Today, students are taught to write papers about their experience and how they feel. Use any form you want. You can even write, if you like, write a haiku. Just whatever you want to do. Like, I just want a paper, three paragraphs, with an introduction and a closing paragraph, that's five. That's all I want, okay? You could talk whatever you want to. What's a paragraph? How do I do that? Am I making this up, Ms. Teacher? Because it's like how you feel. Why? Because your truth, it's a reaction against modernism. Your truth is as good as anybody else's truth. It's your experience. I'm not saying this is easy, but this is the world that we're in. It's more of an onion than it is an apple. And I still think like an apple. Now, what you're finding out is this generation, and this gives, as we talked about in our first plenary session, the idea of neo-reform trying to go back to what we believe is right and wrong, that can be a little bit problematic, but that's where this comes from, is we got to go back to this idea of what we believe and what is believed to be true. I believe we can still do that and live in this weird, ambiguous area where we're trying to reconcile culture, trying to come up with a different fruit between apples and onions, and that's difficult. It doesn't even taste good. It sounds awful, right? We still have a core. We have some truths, but we're communicating to students who do not believe that there's an absolute truth, especially those who are hurting. Just helped, actually, our president's son with a research project, undergraduate research on effective childhood trauma, ACEs, and how we can help them in communities. And guess what the answer is? This is totally crazy science. It's not mentoring groups. It's not peer groups. It's adult relationships with students. It goes right back to what we know to be true. Adults still control the socialization of our kids. We need a lot of them. So at Fuller, we've been talking about the idea of 5-to-1. We need 5 adults to impress themselves upon 1 student. It's not 1 adult for 5. And that's difficult because a lot of adults are like, go fix our kid. Doesn't matter if it's youth ministry, children's home, orphan, whatever. It's like, it's your business, right? Trying to find adults to walk alongside with kids because we know that's the secret sauce. You with me on that? Okay. So, when we ask students in this generation then that are raised maybe by Apple parents, not the iPhone, but live in a world that's onion, and we asked them to join our team, they're going to be a little bit different. Now, I don't have time. What time are we done? Like 4 minutes? Huh? Okay. I'm going to ask you at some point in the future, I'm going to pause this. How many of y'all have heard of Simon Sinek? Okay. Simon Sinek is one of my favorite people when looking at this generation. I may play it a little bit. We have some time. He's very famous for the idea of why, that leaderships have to know their why. He wrote a book called Leaders Eat Last, which taking care of your teams. I would encourage you to read that. It's very well researched. He's all over the place, but he's kind of he's in weird spaces. Simon Sinek has done a lot of work on millennials in particular and kind of moving that towards Generation Z. And how do we work with them in the workplace? So I'll play a little bit of this. This would be great. This is going to be longer than I'll show. This is actually the 2-minute version. I will show all of it. Get a little bit of the nuggets that he shares about this generation and working with them.
Stress, right? Now you add in the sense of impatience, right? They've grown up in a world of instant gratification. You want to buy something, you go on Amazon, it arrives the next day. You want to watch a movie? Log on and watch a movie. You don't check movie times. You want to watch a TV show? Binge. You don't even have to wait week to week to week, right? I know people who skip seasons just so they can binge at the end of the season, right? Instant gratification. You want to go on a date? You don't even have to learn how to be like, hey. You don't even have to learn and practice that skill. You don't have to be the uncomfortable one who says yes when you mean no and says no when you mean no and yes when you... You don't have to swipe right. Bang, I'm a stud. Right? You don't even have to learn the social coping mechanisms. Right? Everything you want, you can have instantaneously. Everything you want, instant gratification. Except job satisfaction and strength of relationships, there ain't no app for that. They are slow, meandering, uncomfortable, messy processes. And so I keep meeting these wonderful, fantastic, idealistic, hardworking, smart kids. They've just graduated school. They're in their entry-level job. I sit down with them and I go, how's it going? They go, I think I'm going to quit. I'm like, why? They're like, I'm not making an impact. I'm like, you've been here 8 months. You know? It's as if they're standing at the foot of a mountain and they have this abstract concept called impact that they want to have in the world, which is the summit. What they don't see is the mountain. I don't care if you go up the mountain quickly or slowly, but there's still a mountain. And so what this young generation needs to learn is patience, that some things that really, really matter, like love or job fulfillment, joy, love of life, self-confidence, a skill set, any of these things, all of these things take time. Sometimes you can expedite pieces of it, but the overall journey is arduous and long and difficult. And if you don't ask for help and learn that skill set, you will fall off the mountain. The worst case scenario, and we're already seeing it, the worst case scenario is we're seeing an increase in suicide rates. We're seeing an increase in this generation. We're seeing an increase in accidental deaths due to drug overdoses. We're seeing more and more kids drop out of school or take leaves of absence due to depression. Unheard of.
So it is true in the research for the first time, probably since, and y'all may know this better than me, I think 2006, 2007, that suicide ideation and depression has gone through the roof. And also, if you didn't notice, the CDC kind of changed their parameters because of COVID, and they're like, oh, I think it's great that kids have screens to look at each other. And they'll reverse it eventually back. Because we weren't made by, this is going to sound very biblical, we weren't made to be screens alone, you know. But that's the world we were kind of forced into, and we found out that we need contact. You know, I've had one of my favorite 2 semesters teaching ever, because when our kids came out of COVID, they're like, I would like to talk to someone. I'm going to talk to you. It's going to be great. I mean, the class is just like awesome. The kids who sleep aren't sleeping anymore because they just want to talk to people, okay? They may drool on their computer a little bit, they'll wake up and they'll actually engage because I think they've realized there's something a little bit more. But you heard some really interesting things from Simon Sinek about your younger employees. What did you hear? That's true to your experience. Instant. I want to make a difference right now. How is changing the toilet paper in the bathroom going to change my life today, right? I need to know. I need something. What else? And we're uncomfortable with us. Why are they uncomfortable with us? Yeah. What, do I get employee of the day? I mean, it's been 3 months. And this is good. I'm pretty special. When you give a kid a bad grade, is it a gift or is it a sign of I'm a bad person? Do you see that? And none of us liked having bad grades, but it goes back to the idea of not knowing how to fail. I give parents this illustration. Maybe you can use it with your students, but if you protect everything an employee does and micromanage, that's basically a really bad thing to do as an employer. But if you don't allow them to fail, it's like a mother who doesn't allow their kid how to fall. Because if the kid doesn't learn how to fall, the mom will be carrying the kid their entire life. You know, part of learning how to walk is taking that first step, and then the parents bring the camera out that we didn't have very much of. Barry, now it's a video iPhone. My daughter-in-law sends pictures all the time of everything. Oh, look, you know, Olivia turned her head to the right. Shh, we got a picture of everything, right? But if that baby, when it takes that first step and falls, all of us called our relatives, our baby's walking. No, they're falling gracefully. There's no walking at all. But what we have a tendency to do is we get mad at the people who are helping our kids walk. Go find another job. Was your boss mean to you? Did they tell my precious? Did they put you on a growth plan? Oh, my word. Come home. We'll figure it out. Yeah, my dad just about broke the plate saying, you ain't coming home. My mom made it into a sewing room. You know, I wasn't coming home. But in defense, and I think it was Steve, where's Steve? Steve and I were talking about this. We had a home to go to and someone to say, get out of here. And some of our students don't have that, so sometimes it's difficult. They've been told they're special. And you might remember The Incredibles? In a world where everybody's special, what? Nobody's special. All right? What else?
Time.
Oh, it does take time. Do you ever wake up? Some of y'all are my age. You're going, when did I get this hair? Who am I looking at? I feel like every time I look in the mirror every morning, I'm looking at my dad. I'm like, what's happening to me? And now my grandfather. It's crazy. Time goes by so fast on this side. But do you remember when you first started and you just wanted to be in the game? Multiply that. I just want to be seen. Because we had people see us and affirm us apart from what we did. I'm going to give you my dissertation in one sentence. It's societal abandonment. We've abandoned our kids to a system. That we acknowledge the kids who look the part, they perform well enough, and then we let them join our little reindeer games. That's only like 10% of the kids at most. For the educators in the room, we have this huge bell curve, and we still give most of our resources to the 5 or 10% on either side. What about the 90 in the middle that are just average kids? Can you be average and be fulfilled? That's hard. We know as athletes, if you're a coach, by 10th grade, if they're not going to be a starter, they'll go find something else to do. It's just that grind. It's hard because it takes time. What else? What'd you say? Yes, sir. Yeah. And if you don't do it and you push back against that, you're an uncool parent. Do you not love your kid? During COVID, my son had to move in from the dorm, and I told him, I said, yeah, nowhere to go. And I said, if you move in this house, you have to have a job. And he looked at me and I said, seriously, you're not moving in unless you have a job. And he started laughing. He said, this is a step close to homelessness for me to be in your house, Dad. And we just laughed because he knew himself to know if we would have allowed him to move in and sleep as late as he wanted to, he wouldn't have done anything. So he got a Home Depot job. And when he finally got COVID, okay, because he was just exchanging germs at Home Depot, he's like, Dad, I got a paycheck. And I didn't even go to work. And I said, adulting can be fun. When you have an adult job, you actually get time. But they sent me a backpack with gift cards, and they love me. And I'm like, welcome to adulting, son. Then he tried to sell cars. Don't do that during COVID. I'm like, have fun with that. But because, this is interesting, he's 22 years old, because he worked at Home Depot, because he sold cars, he's a 22-year-old product manager talking to EPA and DOT Transportation, an oil cleanup company in Midland, Texas at 22. And he gets up and he goes to the office early and makes a cup of coffee so he can wake up and just be with his team. And I'm like, who are you? And it's mostly his mother and the good parenting she did, because he was allowed to fail and he had expectations. So why do I tell you that? They really do want him. But it's how we go about it. We could go on and have therapy and have fun. By the way, let me ask some of you who are in this age group, do you want to be inspired? Where's my youngins? Do you want to be inspired? Luke, do you want to be inspired? Do you want to be coached? Do you want to be seen for who you are? If I stood over you and said, dude, you are not, I mean, I'm a children's home member. We need more money, Luke. We need, give me a number. Let's just say $6 million. Why are y'all laughing? Don't laugh. We ain't big in Lubbock, Texas. We got oil wells. Anyway, so if I said, man, let's sit down together. What can I do to help you? How does that feel? If I say, hey, I'm going to ask you next month, let's at least have $3 million. Or I'm going to look for somebody else. How does that feel? Okay, you didn't hear the other part. I'll find somebody else, though, if you don't get $3 million by the end of the month. Okay, does it feel as supportive? Okay, just one. If you say yes, we got it. Jimmy, you hired a good one. There you go. What are some, I'm going to give you some old school things. I think there's some old school stuff that still works in this weird world. I still think we need the Andy Taylors, the Opies, or Otis the Drunks. I think we still need the Aunt Bees. You can find truth everywhere. But what are some old school things that still work new school with your employees of this generation? I got a list of them, but what has worked for you?
Honesty.
Okay, what kind of brutal honesty or just honesty? Do you see? Did you see the postman? That was a setup because it's the onion, right? Are you being absolutely honest or partially honest or on it? You know, they really want us to be honest with them because I think they realize that they come through a system of participation trophies and something's not working. So you can please tell me one thing I can do well. Fair enough? What else? What's worked? Please hear the empathy. Huge. Stepping, get that perspective taking, stepping in somebody else's shoes to realize I've never been in their world. Again, it would be impossible, almost virtually impossible for me to be homeless just because I'd say, Barry, I'm moving, you know, with you. Think of our network connections. What we're talking about, we have so many connections. Some of these people have nothing. It's hard for me to empathize with that, right? So to I can empathize with that. Anybody else? Yes. Would you hear me and not tap me on the head? So part of the research, we have till 10 minutes now. Thanks. That's two hands. Amen, Jimmy. You raised two hands. I don't know. Can we do that here? Give me nine. Okay, I spent a minute on that joke. That's really stupid of me. So leadership training for Christ. We spend a lot of time teaching students skills, puppets. Women could read scripture. Women could preach. Women could lead singing. Men could do this. We're going to do choruses. And then they get to that magical age of accountability and say, okay, but it's wrong to do it in here. It's wrong to do it in here. Why did we ever teach them that in the first place? See, we're setting ourselves up for our own church divisions. Drama's right or it's not right. Why don't we let our kids do it? And they don't get to do drama on Sunday morning because now it's a sin. Do you see what we've done? We do that in a lot of areas of your life. So we've got to listen to them saying, what would really help you to be involved in this job? What are your ideas? President Maddox, who was the founding president of Lubbock Christian University, was in my first interview for a full-time job and almost passed out. I was interviewing at Green Lawn, and I didn't know he was in the room. He's hiding in the corner. He's a sneaky dude, and he just decided to come to an elders meeting. Who does that, first of all? But there he was, and they're like, Brother Maddox, do you have any questions to ask David? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, he's a legend. And so he's looking at me. Well, the guy just asked me, I don't even remember what the question was, but F.W. Maddox asked me a question. And he really cared about my opinion. I mean, who does that? It was very validating. So that anything else? Any old school? Etiquette. Oh my. One of the greatest things that we can do, and you probably do this, how do you eat at a formal dinner? Right? This is the drink. This is the bread. This is your bread. This is your drink. I learned this. You know how? I grew up very lower middle class. I've never been at a dinner. I didn't know what's going on. We took a bunch of our students at LSU to a business dinner at a very fancy restaurant in Dallas, and we've been showing them these different companies. And we sit down at a dinner, and we put a big Fortune 500 person at their table, and the kids, a lot of them had never been at a formal dinner. And just the etiquette of a dinner. And I'm like, this is going to be interesting. And the older people said, okay, everybody do this. That's your drink. This is your bread. And started teaching them the different knives and forks. It was the greatest serendipitous thing. Oklahoma University, the guy that runs their character program, they teach their players at Kirby at Texas Tech. They actually, when their athletes get through football or whatever sport, they teach them how to put on ties, how to change attire, how to eat a formal dinner. Sometimes they don't know etiquette. And these are people who are going to make a lot of money in the NFL, right? So etiquette. Let's go on, and let me give you some things. Take a picture of the screen because people are antsy, and it looks like we're going beyond the appetizer to actual food here in just a second. This is generalizations, big line there, and some things at ground level, some old school, and I want you to respect the old school as we look at these. One, Mayberry is gone. I think we made that point. You have to empathize about the world they live in. It's different. It's different. But don't compromise. That's the loaded word. It's like what we talked about if you're in the diversity thing, where people that have two different opinions could get together, they could talk. You don't have to compromise what you believe, and they don't want you to. They want you to have a conversation that makes sense, and don't just shut them up and say, because this is the way that it is. Did that work for you? Some of y'all have dark stories that we could have church right now and have some crying compassion, right? We've all had those moments because we asked the question why, but there had to be someone in your life that gave you the reason why, and that's why you're in this room, right? Some of our kids haven't been given that. And they're the ones we work with, and we're asking about our employees. So empathize with that, but don't compromise. I hate talking to my daughter when she's on the phone. And I've come to realize, even though I study this stuff, she has to snap all of her girlfriends at the beginning of the morning because they had these streaks and all this stuff. And it's weird stuff like kink, kink, and kink, kink. Do you know why they do that? Weird pictures? Does anybody know? It's to say I'm here. When I walk down the hall and I see Barry, I'd go, hey, what would you do? Hey. Hey, that's it. That meant the world. That's their snaps. That's why you see kids at movie theaters just going, pink, and you're like, why are you taking a picture of your nose? Because it's going to their friends. It's the only unfiltered thing that we have in social media is snap. Just boom, here it is. It's that, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. So there's something to it, empathize. Face-to-face wins the day. Emails, do they read them? No. Text and other comms. Yeah, you can use that every once in a while, but it sure does mean a lot when you sit down face-to-face and you care enough to give them your time in our world today. Fair enough? Just like, I see you as a person, because when I talk to you, I'm also listening. So those are two big things just like to leave with you. Generalizations working with this group. Next one. Here's a loaded word, authenticity. Everybody say authenticity. Authenticity. Say it again. Oh, my word, especially in social spaces. You be what you are in public and private. They will sniff that out faster than anybody else you've ever seen, especially if you're a person of faith. Just be authentic. Did you lose it in the meeting? Here's what I always tell coaches. If you throw a rock, pick it up. So if you throw a rock, if I throw a rock, so if I'm unfair in a meeting to someone and I just let Steve have it after the meeting, I'm like, Steve, I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have done that. Let me tell you why. They're like, man, thank you, because the boss man just said, I'm sorry. That meant something. Correct yourself. Throw a rock, pick it up. Authentic. Invite into mission. Luke, we didn't even add this. We talked about this morning. Invite them into a mission and enforce expectations. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And we have something that they can be a part of that's bigger than themselves. They are changing family trajectories. Think about that. They are changing the trajectory of an entire generation. That's the work they're doing when they're putting the toilet paper in the bathrooms because it's code. So even the lowest jobs, and this is on us as leaders, know their name, know their stuff, tell them the mission of their role before they ever do those little things. This is our mission. This is what we're doing. They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. So excite them with that, but then give expectations. But realize this will be a new experience for a number of employees. They may have never been given those expectations. So the mission comes with the expectations. Marry those two things together, and they will do that. It's like that coach that you would run through a wall with because you knew that they loved you. Same thing. Mission, expectations. Last thing, encourage. Get out of your office. Lead by walking. I can't say that enough. We're in rough times. And leaders need to be out front. Leaders need to be seen. Not behind a door, doing all this kind of stuff, or on a stage. You need to go into offices and people and call people by name and encourage. That makes a huge difference. I've been a part of both of those type of systems. And when leaders want to work with this generation, some of our age and down, and they're not seen and they're making decisions and they think they're all that in a bag of chips, respect goes down very, very, very fast. See, the legend of F.W. Maddox is he sold his farm for library books and moved to LCU. Do you know that? He sold his farm for library books and started the library. He's most known in the middle of a cotton field on a tractor, plowing things and working in a suit than any other kind of thing that he did in his office. He led by walking. That's very, very important for all of us. Okay, I know we're out of time. Jimmy, come on. Tell us about lunch.